Aleichem. Welcome back, everybody, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Mitzrayah. Today we'll offer an overtime shiur, the regular 15 minutes, where we'll discuss the Parsha primarily, and then move on to Inyanei Haggadah for those of you who are able, shooting for a double shiur today. First, Parshas Mitzrayah. We find that when the Mitzrayah comes to the Kayin and says that he has a nega in his home, the Pasuk says, in Perek Yedala, Pasuk Lamed He, Kinega Nirali Babayis. Something like a nega was seen to me in the home. The Taisis Yamtif, in his Pirish on Mishnayis Negoim, Perek Yedbeis Mishnah He, dwells on the fact that it says, Kinega Nirali Babayis. Rather than nega Nirali Babayis, there is a teras in my home. The Yisrael says, Kinega, something like a nega was seen to me in the house. And the Taisis Yamtif writes that this is a source for the well-known idea that al yiftach adam piv l'satan, that a person should not open his mouth and say something bad. A person should attempt to say things in a nicer way, not to say something bad. So rather than saying nega nerali, he says, Kinega nerali babayis. That sounds like a very geshmaka source. Kinega? Don't say bad al yiftach adam piv l'satan. But really, it's a plea. The idea of al yiftach adam piv l'satan is a Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Samad Aleph. And the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk in Yeshayahu, right in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, pasuk Tes. Yeshayahu says, Kimat kistoim ha'inu la'amayra deminu. He says, we were almost like Sodom, like Amayra. The Gemara says, al yiftach adam piv l'satan. Yeshayahu Hanavi said, Kistayim Hayinu. And later it says, Shimu Devar Hashem, Kitsinei Sadaim. We find that they did indeed fall to the level, Chalila, of Sadaim. We see from there that even when someone says, Kih Sadaim Hayinu, he doesn't say the terrible thing outright. He says it with a Kaf Hadimyan, Kistayim Hayinu, that is also considered Al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satan. If so, what is when the person says "kin nega nirali babayis"? Something like a nega was seen in the house. Why is that avoiding a yiftach piv l'sot? Even saying "kin nega" is also a yiftach adam piv l'sot. It's a pella, the dimyon between the two. I saw that somebody asked this question to the previous Gerer Rebbe. This is in Likutei Yehuda, and he said a svara dikateretz. Kishmaketaretz, and a nice idea. He said that when Yeshayahu HaNavi said, Kistayim Hayinu, we were like Sodom, he did not have to mention Sodom at all. Any mention of Sodom is Al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satan. Not the same in our parasha. The Yisrael who comes to summon the Kayin to look at his home has to say something about a nega. He has to mention the tzaras, after all. He's obligated to tell the Kayin to come to his home, and he obviously would have to tell him why. So he must say nega. When a person has to say something, that's not a chsara, a yiftach adam piv l'satan. They're changing it from nega to kinega. Is a hither. It shows that you don't want to say the terrible thing outright. You say kinega nerali babayis. But the words which have to be said, in those words there is no chasaran of ayiftach adam piv l'satan. And so too, I guess, lamaisa, when things come up in a person's life and a person has to mention things that may not be wonderful, that is no chasaran of ayiftach adam piv l'satan. Let's move on to another idea in this week's parasha. Moving on in Perek Yedaleh, we go to Pasuk Nun Zayin. There it says, in summing up or ending the story of the Mitzrayah, L'chirais b'yamatami u'b'yamatar, zayis tayras hatzaras. It ends by saying, L'chirais b'yamatami, to teach about the days which are tame and the days which are tar. These are the rules of tzaras. Then Siv brings a fascinating idea on the word lahiris. He brings, and apparently the start comes from Yerushalmi, that lahiris means to paskin, to rule. He says, "She'in adam rishoy lahiris ben agoyim ad shera v'shimeshes rabbi." That a person is not permitted to paskin halachas of negoyim unless he had shimush first. He saw his Rebbe paskening the Goyim, and he learned how to do it. Then he subsequently could do the same. Lahayrais, that this is what's taught, Lahayrais, to be able to teach, be a matame, be a matar, a person has to have the experience of seeing it first. This is what Tziv brings from the Yerushalmi. Then the Tziv adds, Lahayrais, be a matame, be a matar, Zais Taira Satsaras. This is the Taira of Mitzaira, meaning to say, that were it not for the idea that a person has to have shimush in order to paskin the rules of Mitzayra, I would have said that when a kohen looks at a nega, it's also for him to bring someone else there to view it. Because when you bring someone else to see the nega as well, you're embarrassing the Mitzayra. Says the Nitziv, Lahirais b'yamatame b'yamatar, you're allowed to bring someone to see. So it's Teres HaTzaras. This is a rule by Tzaras. Were it not a rule, then in order to paskin you have to see, we would be prohibited from bringing someone along to view someone in his moments of weakness. As I stated in the Tziv. In a fascinating tshuva, the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yud Gimel, tshuva Pei Aleph, he talks about the custom in teaching hospitals that when a doctor comes to see a patient, he brings along the students to see the patient as well. And the Tzitz Eliezer warns that a doctor should not do that unless the doctor is in a situation where he knows that the patient is not makbid, where he knows that the patient doesn't mind. If it appears to him that the patient minds, he should not bring anybody along. And the reason is based on this pasuk. Because were it not that this is Teiras HaTzaras, were it not that this is the rule of the Metzaira, then we would be prohibited from showing anybody in a moment where he's embarrassed to other people. And Reb Zilberstein, in bringing this, adds that certainly someone who gives mussar to someone else should not do so in front of others. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, says, "Hamechiach es chaveray, tzarach leichichai beinei lebein atzmai." Someone who gives techacha, who gives mussar to someone, has to do it privately. If you have to correct somebody, do it privately. And this is all the same idea, that were it not a tzairach, it would be osur to show the tzaras in front of other people. There's another nice idea on this week's parasha, which is in Derech Sicha. In Derech Sicha, the first volume from Chaim Kanievsky, somebody asks him a question regarding Lashon Hara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, says that there was a shaila, also a kamei de Rav Masna, and they asked Rav Masna the shaila, lo yada b'yada, he didn't know the answer. Or saw the kamei de Rav Yehuda Magronya, they went to a second amayra, on the way, he knew the answer. Someone asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I think Rav Chaim Kanievsky brings, that someone in the previous generation had asked the kasha, that's Lashon Hara. Why does the Gemara have to say, they asked Rav Masna, he didn't know. Then they asked Rav Yehuda, and he knew. Why mention that Rav Masna didn't know? That's Lashon Hara, you say something bad about Rav Masna, this doesn't add anything to the Gemara. Rav Chaim Kanievsky answered beautifully. He says, when you say an Adam Gadol was asked a question that he did not know, you are teaching me something. You're teaching me that this kasha is an extraordinary kasha. It's a great kasha. He says, imagine, if I told you I had a shaila regarding Yalavi Yava, and he asked the Chazlinish, and he didn't know. That teaches you that the question is a solid gomer, is a solid question. And therefore, the Gemara mentions, Rav Masna Lehava Biyadeh. I would add to this, there are Yaakov, and Emes Yaakov, if I'm not mistaken, is the Parshas Vayeshev, has an interesting clown. Because there are many Gemaras, or even Pesukim, that appear to say Lashon Hara about people. Rabbi Yaakov writes that there is no Issa Lashon Hara regarding someone who's not alive. There's an Issa of Maitzi Shemra, but no Issa of Lashon Hara regarding people who are no longer alive. The Aveira is Menod L'Chaveira, not when someone's not living. And it's interesting that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, in this piece, appears not to agree with that insight. Let me share with you a fundamental idea from this week's parasha. In the parasha, we find the idea, and it's brought in the chinuch as mitzvah kufayin gimel, that bathing in a mikvah is metayer, that a person immersing in a mikvah, rather, is metayer a person. And the Chinuch gives a reason. He says, why is water the source of taira? Says the Chinuch, echshev ala pshat. I'll tell you something that's close to pshat. Kadesh yechshev adam kimu nivra ba'isashah, k'mashahaya ha'aylam kulay mayim, terem hayes ba'adam. A person should imagine as if he has a rebirth when he goes into the mikveh. Now when a person goes into the mikveh, he can sort of start again. Mayim is a symbol of the very beginning, the very moment of creation, the moment of rebirth. The Sefer Malei HaTaira, he expands on that in this idea here in the parasha, about the idea of water in general. We all know that it's a mysterious thing that when people stand at a waterfall or at a lake, it affects the neshama, it affects the nefesh. There's a certain serenity that's unusual, which a person achieves when he stands by water. We don't really know why it's so. The Meshech Chochma in Parshas Yisrei says, Kisheshes yamim asa Hashem es ha-shamayim es ha-oretz es ha-yam es kol ha-shabam. It brings that the yam is shakol keneged kol ma'aseh bereishis, the water. Water in nature is somehow as chashuv as everything else. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of everything else. And that's why the Meshech Chochma says, we find in Chazal, that those who are Eivet Avodah Zarah agreed that Avodah Zarah had no shlita, had no power over the oceans. Because the ocean is something which is eternally the same way it was in the 6 days of creation. The way it was created, it remains. The land changes. It's paved. It's dug. Things are built on the land. But the ocean, the sea, stays the same way it was in my Sibirachus. And the mazoles have no effect on it because there is no change. And therefore, Avodah Zarah had no shlita, we would add. The Gemara says that somebody was affected by kishuf, should run to the water. The Gemara says that fish, alei ayin, there's no ayin hara that affects fish. We also know that the creatures in the water are the most ruchnius, are the closest to ruchni. Fish don't require shlita to become kosher. And fish, in fact, were the first creatures that were created, the first Balei Chaim that were created originally. In the Mabul, they didn't die. So we find this idea, which is mentioned here in the Chinuch, that water is a symbol of going back to Ma'aseh Bereishis, going back to the beginning of time, going back to a person's original source. And that may well explain the idea that somebody's neshama, when it gazes upon an area of water, a body of water, certainly a waterfall, has a certain serenity, a certain peace that comes upon it. It's interesting. The waterfalls in Trump Towers and the like don't do it. It's got to be nature's waterfall, nature's lake. And that gives a person a certain serenity, a certain peace. And that is the symbol of the mikvah. The serenity, the peace, which is a person could go back to my separations. In completing our discussion of Parshas Metzora, let me leave you with a kasha. Megilah has called Sa'arai, a Metzora is commanded to cut off all the hair of his body, to shave off, rather, all the hair of his body. And the Gemara says in Yevamos, I believe it's Dav Olam and Aleph, that this is one of the sources of Asei, Daichalai Sasei, the mitzvah Sasei of a Metzora, removing the hair from his body. Is Daichan the Lysasei? There's a Lysasei on removing payais, on shaving payais. The Gilach has called Sa'arai, the Gemara says, that is a say of Gilach has called Sa'arai, is Daichan the Lysasei of payais. That's a Gemara. The question that I'd like to ask is, we know that a say Daichan the Lysasei only works if it's B'idnei. If at the time of the essay, a person is over a Lysasei. If someone's ever a Lysasei tomorrow, in order to enable him to do an assay the day after, then we don't say assay Daichal Lysasei. It must be B'idnei simultaneously. The kasha then is, we know there are payas on both sides of the head. The Gilach is kol Sa'arai. Assay Daichal Lysasei, he's allowed to cut off the payas to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. When he cuts off the first paya, guarantees being either the lav, but he has not yet been mekayim the asay, because if he were to shave only half of his head, then he would not be mekayim the gilach as kol sarah. He has to shave everything. The kasha then is, if I say that chalais asay has a source in cutting off the payas, we should learn from here that asay is that chalais asay even in a case where it's not beidnei. After all, here it's not beidnei. I think it's a good question. At any rate, that is our presentation today on Parshas Metzora. Let's turn to a discussion on the Haggadah for those of you who still have time to stay tuned. Now, first, let me mention something very general regarding the Haggadah. It's really a question as to why every year we say the same thing over and over. And again, every year we say it, Balash and Kasha, and the Tshuva. A person has to ask. That's part of the Guf HaMitzvah, to ask, and someone should answer. And not only that, if a person is alone, he asks questions of himself and answers. Isn't that strange? You should have to ask yourself questions and answer them, especially prescripted questions such as the Manishtana. I think I had a certain feeling of Havana in the Haggadah last year, a certain sensitivity, which afterwards I saw in the Samer Rebbe's Haggadah Maritav. There's a concept which I had once heard from Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner said that the difference between a Talmud and not a Talmud, someone who learns from someone who is a student, a disciple, and someone who's just an outsider listening, is that when a Talmud hears something from his Rebbe the second time, the third time, he already knows it, but he hears the Rebbe repeat it, he has a greater interest and a deeper understanding. He's a Talmud. An outsider, though, who hears something which he already heard, doesn't feel interested at all. It's something he knows. Getting information, he knows that information. It has no interest to him. The difference in a Talmud, someone who learns and someone who doesn't, is someone who connects to something which he already knows and has a personal connection to it in a way that gives him an understanding of amkos, a depth, the thing that he's looking at, the thing that he understands. I remember I had the schus to be in Rav Moshe's home on Shabbos on a number of occasions. I remember watching him learn Chumash. He had a regular Mekoros Gedolos Chumash and he was learning. And it struck me as so strange. Here's Rav Moshe, who knew Shas Baal Peh. So Chumash, he's looking again at the Chumash. He's looking at the Rashi once more. It struck me as strange. Why is Rav Moshe going through the motions and learning things that he already knows perfectly well? But then when I heard Rav Hutner's idea, I understood. A person who has a real connection, hearing it again and again, no matter how many times he hears it, it has a new cheshek to him. It depends how you sit down to the Haggadah. You have to sit down to the Haggadah with a connection, with an interest, always looking for something new. I heard the name of the Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe. He asked, we know that we don't eat matzah before the night of Pesach, so that we should eat it b'chipazayin. We should eat it, I'm sorry, b'teyavayin. We should eat it with a desire. So we stay away from it on Erev Pesach. Many of us stay away from eating matzah from Rosh Chodesh, some people 30 days. So we should eat it with a cheshek. So the Pnei Menachem asked, why then on Shabbos HaGadol do we read the Haggadah? Shouldn't we stay away from the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol? So that when we come to the Haggadah the night of Pesach, we should do it with a cheshek. And the Pnei Menachem answered, when you eat, the more you eat, the more you're full, the less you have desire. Divrei Torah is not that way. Divrei Torah, the more you look at it, the more you see in it, the more depth you have, the more appreciation you have. Each time gives more cheshek if you're a real Talmud. Kol hamar belasaper harizeh meshubach. In Haggadah we say that if a person adds more and more words of Sipritzius Mitzrayim, he's praised. And a kasha. Shulchan Aruch says that a person is obligated to say Sipritzius Mitzrayim ad shichat fen hashina, until he falls asleep. If a person keeps the Shulchan Aruch, you have two people. Each is keeping the Shulchan Aruch. One falls asleep, and the other one stays up an hour later. So we say, Kol HaMar B'Lasaper HaRizem Mishulach. He's praiseworthy. He said, more Sipritzius Mitzrayim. But why? They both, each one kept his obligation. Just one was more tired, one was less tired. But each one kept his obligation. say she beats Yitzchak Mitzrayim until he falls asleep. But according to what we're saying now, it's not fair. Somebody who's not a Talmud gets tired. He walks into Shir. He's tired. Yes, it is a Raya. It's not a Raya. Toshma, not. He falls asleep quickly. Someone who's a Talmud who has an interest, he has a cheshes, he has a bren, he has a desire, he stays awake. Kolamar b'lasaper, the person who's a Talmud, who stays connected, harizem b'shuvah, he's not a praiseworthy. So here you have three nekudas, the same idea. The question, the understanding of why we say the same thing every year, trying to be like a Talmud who's connected. The B'nai Menachem's kasha, about why we say it in Shabbos HaGamu, which has the same teretz. And the kasha kolamar b'lasaper, which also comes to the same idea, that a person has to see himself connected to that which he's saying, and then it carries meaning. Moving on, we're told that the eating of the matzah was b'chipazayin, in a rush in Mitzrayim. Now, actually, it's a little hard to understand. We usually picture Yetzias Mitzrayim as a rush out of Mitzrayim. They weren't ready. But the pasuk says, "V'achaltem b'chipazayin," they were commanded beforehand to eat the matzah in a rush. How do you command someone to eat the matzah in a rush? Very difficult idea, difficult thing to understand. There's an interesting some cipher on V'achaltem. He says that the commandment was to be misaper Yetzias Mitzrayim the night of Pesach in Mitzrayim. They spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim that night. He got the Tol of Imcha. They spoke about what was taking place. So to some cipher, the mitzvah was to be marba l'saper be Yetzias Mitzrayim as much as you could, to the degree where at the end, when it comes time to eat the matzah, it'll be the last minute, and you'll have to rush to eat the matzah and get the eating of the matzah in time. And if some sefer writes, v'hani soyoin mashiach, and we see that it stayed that way for generations, when the Shabbat Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then we look at the clock, it's late, we have to hurry with our eating of the matzah. And therefore, v'achaltam b'shipazayin was a commandment to put their priorities in the right place. To put the priorities in the sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though it means that when you get to matzah, and maror, kairach, and shulchan aruch, and afikayman, you're going to have to do it in a rush. But that's the way it was in Mitzrayim, and that's the way it's right to be l'dayreis. And just bear in mind, throughout the generations that the Beis Hamikdash stood, they did everything we do at the Seder, everything, plus eating the Karban Chagiga and the Karban Pesach. Imagine how rushed that Seudah was. If we find it's tight, imagine how tight it was then. They really had to choose between enjoying all the eating and enjoying the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that, v'achaltam b'chipazayin, you might think, the eating is also a mitzvah. Let's do that one slowly. V'achaltam b'chipazayin is a command. Choose what you do slowly. The Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, l'sh'en kein, all of the eating. The question, we say that at the Seder Leil Pesach, we're supposed to say, Pesach zu al shuma, matzah zu al shuma, marah zu al shuma. We're supposed to say, we're eating Pesach because of this, matzah because of this, marah because of this. But they had the mitzvah CPCS Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. Pesach zu al shuma, Hashem shapasach Hashem, al bati avisenu in Mitzrayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over the homes. But wait, they were eating the Karban Pesach before midnight. When they ate the Karban Pesach, Pesach Zuhal Shema, what did they answer? And Matzah Zuhal Shema, Hashem Shalai Yisbik B'tzeikon, Hashem Shalai Yisbik. That happened the next day. When they ate the Matzah, Matzah Zuhal Shema, what did they answer? Sounds like a great kasha. Even a better teretz. The teretz is in the Chumash. In the Chumash? Yeah. Because if you read the Pesukim and Parashas Bai, it says that on the night of Pesach, V'amartem zevach Pesach hu Hashem, asher posach al bote b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, b'nokvay es Mitzrayim, v'esbotenu yitzio. There, in Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk of Zion. Before it happened, they were commanded to eat the Karban Pesach, and to say, Pesach zu al shumah, fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this case, will be jumping over the houses of the Jews in Egypt. As a matter of fact, the Sephardo on the pasuk says, "B'shvil ha'pesicha choisa asid aliyos." That then they already had to say regarding that which was still to happen. Pesach zu ashama. That's why it's a night of emuna, a night of faith. They ate with the faith, the perfect faith, that what was foretold would happen. Pesach zu ashama, matzah zu ashama. When we say it, they said it exactly the same way there when they were in Mitzrayim and ready to go out. It's well known Arizal that before Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there were Mem Teshari Tum, and had they waited one more minute, they would have fallen to the 50th Shar. It's a well known idea, and I'm often asked the following very good kasha on this Chazal. On that night of Makkas Bechairis, it is not logical to think that there was any Jew that was tempted to bow to an Avodah Zarah. It's not logical to think that they were tempted to Znus at that night. It was a holy night. They had brought the Korban Pesach, sprayed the blood on their mezuzahs, on the doorposts, and Egyptians were dying in Bayis Hashem Shameis. It was a Tza'aka Gedayla Mitzrayim, and they were sitting comfortably in their homes. How can the Arizal say that if they had stayed in such a situation, in such surroundings for an extra minute, they would have fallen into deeper Sha'arei Tumah? Very hard to understand. In addition, Chazal Dashim Mishku Ukechulachem, Mishku Yedechem Yavaydezara Ukechulachem, that the whole Korban Pesach was leaving Avaydezara, separating Klal Yisrael from Avaydezara. So what do you mean they were falling into Memtei Sha'arei Tumah? Very problematic, Arizal, very difficult to understand. So I would suggest the following terrors. If you want, you can hang up now and have a good kasha. But I would suggest the following terrors. When they were leaving Mitzrayim, of course, they were at that moment involved in adapting to a new life of Kedusha. They had a choice. They could have run out of Mitzrayim, run away from Mitzrayim as if it was the worst thing that had ever happened to this spiritual existence, falling to Sha'arei Tumah. Or they could have been like many people. They could have been very calm people. Time to leave, to get ready to leave, get the things together, and do it in a way that doesn't show urgency. Had they failed to show urgency in leaving Mitzrayim, that itself would have been such an avla, such a problem, that it would have meant that they lack an appreciation of what they were doing, of what they were going through. Such a lack of appreciation would have thrown them back through the Memtei Sha'arei Tumah. They could have never gotten up again. Klal Yisrael, in leaving Mitzrayim, had to have that appreciation that they're running like someone who runs from the plague, who runs from something terrible, eager to go towards Har Sinai. And that's why they had to rush. In Shulchan Aruch it says that every morning when you come to shul, you should sprint up the steps into shul. You should go in quickly. As it says in Shulchan Aruch, even on Shabbos when we don't run, to shul you can run. A person is supposed to show an eagerness to Avodas Hashem, a desire to go quickly, come to yeshiva, look at the boys walking in. Night Seder, look at the people walking in. You have people who walk in eagerly, who walk in quickly to the Gemara, so you have the people sauntering in, stopping at the coffee. It's not just a few minutes. It's the attitude. The attitude of going b'chipa zayin, going with a rush, and that's what really keeps a person at the madrigas that he seeks to achieve. And with that, I sign off on this, the first week of Chodesh Nissan, as we prepare our homes, prepare ourselves for the reenactment of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. My goodness, Shabbos.